I always switch off during the singing because no one wants to hear my harmonies. Wow. I there's a response. Excuse me for one moment while I've got some running repairs to do during the service, so if you see me dashing about with my toolbox, you'll have to excuse me. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what that laughter, that guffaw was then. But as it's my wife, you know, I welcome positive feedback about my singing always. So thank you. Good morning. I'm James and I'm one of the elders of the church. And I just want to extend my welcome to you if you're visiting here. And it's great to have you joining us. Some regular visitors, some regulars, and first time, so welcome. And thank you to the guys who delivered worship and helped us come into God's presence this morning. Some amazing songs that were really lifting us into that place where we can receive and connect with God in a new way. So thank you to Ian and the rest of the team. Thank you. This morning we're continuing the series on Sermon on the Mount. We started this series right at the very beginning with the Beatitudes. And we've journeyed through looking at all those. I suppose what Jesus was giving us was some challenges and some. And this is the reason why I've brought my toolbox in as a visual aid, folks. This is Jesus giving us some new tools to put into our toolbox of how we can approach life and connect with our communities differently. One of the ways of viewing the Sermon on the Mount is very much about that Jesus giving us those practical tools of being able to respond to situations that we encounter on a daily basis now. Whether it's managing our anger, understanding the challenges of how to respond to people's questions about our faith. And today we're going to explore the topic of loving our enemies. One of the things that, as I was studying this week, I was very clear about was the Sermon on the Mount to me is Jesus knowing the purpose that he had for each one of us. As we remember, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He knows the end right back to the beginning. And he knows the purpose that he has for each one of us. And for me, as I read through the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically about this, the loving your enemies, it was very clear that when we think about the purpose that Jesus has for us as individuals and us as a church, that starts in that scripture in Matthew 28, to go into all the world, teach, baptize, and make disciples. Loving our enemies is a key ingredient to enable us to do that. So today is about loving your enemies. And I intend to share a couple of things about loving your enemies. Now, yesterday in the Hodges household was a big day for us. We purchased a trampoline. Now, you were all thinking, they bought a dog. He's finally succumbed to the pressure of the three women in his life and bought a dog. Not yet. But we bought we've just recently bought our house, which is great. And it's fabulous to be able to sit in my back garden now and know that I'm there. This is it. And I keep telling Krona that the only way you're going to get me out of here is in a box. And she's talking about wicker and stuff like that. So anyway, so we bought a trampoline, But we've also been buying lots of furniture. Now, talking about enemies, folks, and DIY, who knows what this is? Yeah. Phil?
Yeah, it's instruction manual.
Worse still, it's from IKEA. Why is it that I'm given one of these and a load of a box and loads of bits and pieces and told to build something? You think this is bad? I was given a trampoline, a 12-foot trampoline. Now we've got a big garden, thank God. But actually, this 12-foot trampoline is it's bigger than I thought. Bigger than I thought. But IKEA instructions, you can love them or hate them. Now I am slowly but surely learning to love them. Marmite. Love it, hate it. Have we got any Marmite lovers in the house? Oh, look at that. Great. Any Marmite haters in the house? Oh, Jill. Okay. So we're getting an understanding here of loving stuff and hating stuff. On a more serious note, who has ever had an enemy? Someone that they've really found, you know, butted up against and found, you know, this is a challenge. How am I going to get through to this person? How am I going to get through each day working with this person, encountering this person? Or, even better, how can I work my way through life avoiding this person? And today is about not avoiding that person, but learning how to pray for that person, praying for our enemy. So I'm going to put a question out here. I've brought my toolbox because, like I say, I think that God is using this series at Sermon on the Mount to fill my toolbox up with some really good stuff to help me deliver his purpose. Is there anybody here this morning who would like to add to their metaphorical toolbox of some tools that are going to help them in life? Yeah? Yeah? Thank you. Yeah, good. I'm going to put the toolbox down there. It's actually full of nuts and bolts and screws. It's got absolutely no tools in it at all. So, you know, just put it out there. Anybody emptying their shed want to... power tools would be very, very welcome. Right. So, we're going to go to Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. And I am going to read from the New Living Translation. That's just the translation that I worked through from home. But we use the New International Version here. So, Matthew 5, 43 to 48. And this is Jesus speaking. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it speaks very clearly about how you want us to live, how you want us to connect with people, and how you want us to deliver your purpose, which is to go out, teach, baptize, and make disciples. I thank you that your word is living, and this morning we're going to see it grow and develop in our lives. Help us to learn something new this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to remember, as we read and go through this journey together this morning, that Jesus knows the end to the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega. In his teaching here, like I say, he knows what he's preparing us for. But in his humanity, Jesus also knows that we are under lots of pressures. Life throws lots of different things and different people and different environments to cause us to have a wobble, to encounter people that we find challenging, and that how that can limit our opportunities to express God's love and be the people that Jesus died on the cross for. Jesus knows that we live in a world that has lots of hate and lots of opportunities to hate our enemies. But also, Jesus knows in his humanity the effect of hate and how that can affect people's opinions, perceptions, and the ability to respond to situations. I always think about this, and this was this real picture that Jesus gave me this morning, that he knew exactly what was going to happen to him as he spoke these words out. He knew that 1 week ahead of his crucifixion, he would be heralded as the Saviour. People would be celebrating. Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. Look at the King coming into our gates. The Messiah is here, waving of palm trees, laying of coats in front of him. Jesus was the best thing since sliced bread. Jesus, the miracle worker, the saviour of weddings. I always use that one because I love that. I love that picture that Jesus, even at a wedding, is doing the old miracle thing. It's not just about blindness and people walking and... And then a week later, we hear that crowd full of hate and full of their opinions changed. Crucify him! Crucify him! Save Barabbas! Save Barabbas! What a difference that spirit of hate can have on people's opinions and perceptions, and how it can change people's behaviours. In this scripture, Jesus is giving us some very clear tools of how we need to embrace what he's saying and deliver his purpose. He also wants us to live an abundant life, a life that is not limited by hate or oppression of hate. So I want us just to think about the context of this scripture, this place where Jesus is sharing, that moment in time that Jesus is talking, this sharing his views and this new way of working to these people. It would have been a collective mix of variety of people, of different tribes, different levels of society, different nationalities. But he was speaking in a land that was oppressed. The Jews had lots of things to hate and to be challenged by and feel under pressure with. For instance, Roman oppression. You know, the Romans weren't just people who put sewer systems in and straight roads, which is good, but they were an oppressive dictatorship and very violent and quite willing to take the Jewish nation and Jews into slavery and sell them on and break up that nation. But not only that, we had a nation of people who at one point in their lives, in that history of that nation, the chosen people of God, who were so connected with God at one point, who, and as Phil shared last week about the law and how we see that this another level of oppression on the Jews, something again for them to come up against, was this Pharisees, the way they taught and flexed the law, how they used scripture to oppress. In Psalm 139, verses 19 to 22, this is one of those scriptures that the Pharisees would have used to create this environment of hate. It's interesting, folks, just as before I read it, there's nowhere in the Bible that God says, hate your enemies. Nowhere. Doesn't say it. But in Psalm 139, this is where enemies are talked about. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you, your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. That's David writing the psalm, asking, should I hate them? God's not saying, you hate my enemies. Someone's asking him a question. Should I hate them? We see that the Pharisees, by flexing the law and scriptures, created an environment that burdened the people with hate and anger and twisted it to create that place. Jesus had personally encountered hate and could see how it was creating strongholds and making the Jews more dependent on the law. Jesus, through the Sermon on the Mount, is remodeling the Jewish ways in approaching life so he could support them and break that cycle of dependence. My job at work is I work with lots of young people to help them change their behaviours. And I take them on a journey and work with them to change behaviours. And we create environments, positive environments, to help a young person who may have really poor timekeeping. And we give them tools and a structure and a framework to work within so that they can break that behaviour of poor timekeeping and become better, more punctual, and more employable. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, through this teaching of loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, acting as true children of your Father in heaven, is giving us a framework, and gave the Jews at that point a framework and a different way so that they could break that cycle. As I've already said, when Jesus was teaching this, he knew the purpose that he had for us. So I want us now to connect that to the purpose for us here, right now in Towyn. And for your home churches as well, if you're visiting. John, I wonder whether you could just put that picture up on the screen. Now, for those of us here in Towyn, this is very much a picture for us now. It's not something that is new to us, it's just something that we've given a refresh. It's about connecting our communities to Christ by God's love. And it shows a heart with a cross right in the middle. And that heart is made up of different people. But what we have is people walking out from the heart and into the heart. That heart represents us as individuals, us as a corporate body of church, and us as the church nationally. be in a place where we can receive and release God's love and connect with people. Jesus is, through his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, encouraging us to love our enemies, to think differently about those people that we find really difficult, to pray for those who persecute us. By recognizing that we are true children of our Father in heaven, we can start to live this and be this. Not that we're not doing it, but even more. Jesus is giving us this powerful tool. Knowing the pressures and challenges of society today, loving our enemies, folks, strangely enough, simplifies life. It frees us. It really does. You know, if you... time and energy spent focusing on disliking someone and hating someone, it's time that is consuming us for no good purpose. Jesus, in his words, is releasing us and saying, you don't have to do that. You can love. And love brings a smile to our faces and releases us into something so much more pleasurable. For those who love Marmite, I want you just to have a moment to take that moment, Marmite. For those who love chocolate, just take a moment. There's some chocolate lovers in here. Me being very much a chocolate lover. We know that feeling of love and how wonderful it makes us feel. Loving our enemies simplifies our life. This powerful new way of approaching people and situations gives us new opinions and a new way of looking at situations. I don't know about you, but when that red mist of hate and anger, I can't think straight. My whole ability and rationalization, if that's a good word, goes out the window, and I am unable to focus and be positive about the situation. By grace and love, we are released and free from the strongholds that hate and anger can take hold of and cause us to become dependent on them, on others, or something else. Grace and love were released on the cross to set us free. By applying that thinking of, actually, I quite like a simpler life. And my life became very simple yesterday when Krona said, I know what she meant when she said, I'm going to go and ring Steve about the trampoline. Okay? What she meant was, James, I love you. You're a fabulous husband. Okay? You're a fabulous bloke. But you are now in that place of panic. This trampoline, which the girls are asking to go on, if I leave it to you, it will never get built. That's what she meant when she said, I'm going to ring Steve. Now, Steve is a great guy. He lives in our village, and he's fabulous. Thankfully, Steve came with his power tools, the trampoline guy. Praise God. But applying this, I digress. But by applying love to a situation, that could have got out of hand. Yes. Okay, we'll move on. By applying this new tool to love enemies, we become counterculture. And that's really important, folks. Because as we've read in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, it's all about being that salt and light in a world that needs people to be different in. By being counterculture, this will connect us with lots of different and untouched parts of our community. Doesn't this sound great? Doesn't it sound great? Yes, James. Doesn't it? All you've said, James, is fabulous. Wow, I'm going to go out and do that now. Right, I'm off, folks. No. It does sound, and when I was writing this, it was like, oh yeah, this is dead easy. Oh, I'm out there tomorrow, loving my enemies. But when, I bring it back because when I was stuck with a set of trampoline instructions that didn't make sense, or being less flippant, having to work with someone who oppresses you, being in a relationships or in neighbourhoods that you find difficult to live in, not quite getting that person who lives next door to you, not quite understanding why your boss responds to you in a certain way, not quite understanding why the world, the nation, is going in a certain direction. Applying this new approach to loving rather than hating isn't easy. I know from personal experience that changing opinions and changing how you think about a situation, for example, loving your enemies, praying for someone who persecutes you, is challenging. Changing opinions, feelings, and our default response to something or someone isn't easy. But changing with Jesus can be easy. Changing with Jesus can be easy, folks. We have been reminded several times recently in this series about the fact that Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So for today, is we need to go to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus on that sermon, on that mountain. We need to go to him and hear what he's saying to us and listen and take it on board. He wants to give us rest for this situation. And I say to you, and I really do say this, give yourself a break. Being knotted up with hate, frustration, disappointment, being cross about a situation, give yourself a break on that moment. Jesus wants to give us rest in that. He's got a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. As I'm coming to the end of this, I want us to, for those who weren't here a couple of weeks ago when I last was up preaching, I shared three practical words that that help me in situations. And I want us to reconnect with these for this, for us in this call to love our enemies, to pray for those to be who persecute us, to recognize that we are children of God. And those words are focus, accountability, and repentance. By focusing on Jesus, we understand what his purpose is for our lives. Our purpose is Matthew 28, is going out there, making disciples, preaching the gospel. And we can only do that. And he doesn't say to the people that you like, James, because that would be really easy. He says to all the world, and that requires us to think differently about all the world and how we are going to approach all the world. Focusing on Jesus. Jesus throws us a lifeline in order for us to be able to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus knows how tough it is. He sweated blood as he was praying his soul would be, that he would be released from that moment where he was in the absolute persecution. Jesus throws a lifeline to us in order for us to be able to do that. And that comes in John 15. I am the true vine, he says. And in verse 4, John 15, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. Isn't that fantastic? Jesus will remain in us. So number one, focus on Jesus. Accountable. As we see in verse 45 of Matthew 5, it says, in that way you will be acting as true children of your Father God. In that way. That's a big sign saying, look at me. This is who I am. How I act is to you here, of people I know, who know me. But more importantly, to those people who are out there, who see me walking out of Towering Baptist Church this morning, who know about my personal faith. To Steve, the trampoline fixer. To my neighbours, who was having a picnic with last night, saying, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, I'm preaching. Oh. That my responses and my way of responding to situations, my opinions on things, are a signpost of my relationship with my Father in heaven. And so therefore, accountability to God's word and to my Father requires me then to be more dependent on my Father in heaven. And repentance. Repentance calls for us to change direction. And to love our enemies requires us to change direction. And that's literally, it's, now I got this wrong last time, I did a 360, but it's a 180. So if I do it, I'm going to stand here, because if I did, it requires me to go in a different direction. And Jesus, in this teaching, is calling us to go in a different direction in how we approach our enemies, those situations that we find very difficult and where pressure is placed upon us. We can only start this journey, at the end, We are called, in verse 48, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. No pressure there, God. Thank you. But actually, repentance requires us to really recognize that God wants us to be perfect. And we can only start our journey to perfection through repentance, by changing direction in this life. So as I conclude, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He knows what our purpose is. The purpose that Jesus has given us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go into all the world preaching and making disciples, or for us here in Tawin, is to connect our communities to Christ by God's love. We're running this race together. And my final two comments. As a church running this race together, we have a real opportunity to activate elements of our vision even more. It's going to require us to step into a different way of thinking, a change of direction, a need to focus more on God, and that need to be even more and have that accountability with God. It's going to require us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. I've put enemies, and in brackets next to it, communities. I don't hate any communities, but I really am not connected with a lot of communities. I don't get them. I don't understand them. I don't understand people's thinking. But that doesn't mean that without changing my way, I can start praying for them. To pray for our communities that we don't care for, understand, or are connected with, by praying for them, suddenly, folks, we are acting as true children of God. So, number one, pray for our enemies. Pray for those. And to love, and secondly, and finally, to love our enemies. And again, our communities or people that frustrate us and irritate us. I lived at time for a while with my parents a number of years ago, and the guy who lived next door to my parents every night played loud music. Now, my folks were retired, they've worked hard, and they're good people. They are really good people, and they didn't deserve that. But it only changed when they started praying for him. And it didn't change straight away, but it changed. And now, my mum and dad's neighbour comes round and asks them, can you pray for our little girl? Can you pray for our little girl? There's no more loud music. There's a connection that came from two folks who could have just got angry and more angry and more frustrated and got the police involved or the council involved. No, they made a decision to pray and to love. So to love our enemies will allow us to connect with them, because loving our enemies will show that we are different to everyone else. And that's what, in verse 47, Jesus is calling us to be. If you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Well, we are different. We are saved. We know Jesus' love. If you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, then truly we will reveal that Jesus, Lord, is Lord of our lives. Amen.